produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
You are now tuned into the CEO Mindset with your amazing host, Nicole Gates, with trending topics to empower, encourage, and equip the female business leader.
Well, it's CEO Saturday, and again, I am excited to be in the studio and to interview a very good friend who is doing some amazing things in the city of Memphis and abroad. Nadia Matthews is joined with us today. Hi, Nadia.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited.
I am too. So let's talk about Lily Rose Studios. I know you are doing some amazing things, really good things just across the board, not just with kids, with adults, with business owners. You are rocking the scene, lady.
Yes.
So yes, why don't start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and about your business, how you got started?
I got started actually when I was 15 years old. My twin sister and I was doing a lot of different plays, Shakespeare, and different avenues. But my mom actually took us to a Tyler Perry production, and I saw the Tyler Perry show, and I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, with actually African-American actors, it was urban. It was the language was more relatable than, you know, some of the typical school plays. So I was really intrigued and excited about it. And that's when I started writing. So I was writing while I was at school, when I actually was supposed to be doing different assignments. I'm like, no, I was in my journal. The first investment I made was a laptop at the pawn shop. I felt so good about bargaining it down to $150 that I borrowed from a dad. And I was like, so that was just when I got the magic, and I just wanted to create. And from there, my sister was like, you should name the company Lily Rose, my grandmother's. Names are Lily and Rose. So I was like, that'd be a cool name for my production company. And by the time I was 16, the play was done, and I went into producer and director mode. So at the age of 16, I can fully say that I was a writer, producer, and director. My show sold out 4 nights in a row. We donated all the money to Lamorna College. So in the school's history, I'm still deemed the youngest contributor. And it kind of just went from there.
That's amazing. I love what you just said. I didn't even realize you were so young when you got started.
Yes.
I mean, that story needs to be told, just, you know, because there are young people out there that's aspiring to do things like this, and I think it's amazing. I had no idea that you were that young. That is amazing.
Yeah,
that's
that was
awesome.
my first commercial appeal article. I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. You know, having clip-ins,
so cool.
I mean, it was definitely something that, you know, helped me get started and kept me going, you know, to achieve more.
So what made you just continue on that path? What just propelled you to keep going with it?
I fell in love, and it was just so surreal. I mean, to have a show that you write and a piece of paper and then a script, and I had actors from the ages of 8 to, you know, 60, taking direction from, you know, a teenager. And, I mean, it was so empowering. And but then I wanted to do more. I knew stage plays you know, wasn't a career that I just wanted to freelance my way through. And I was so connected, and so many of my peers and younger people were telling me how inspired they was, and my work was actually, you know, changing lives. So that's when I wanted to do something a little bit more hands-on to deal with, you know, what I'm teaching in my plays or what messages I may have. And that's when we kind of started the nonprofit route. And we started working with just, you know, different companies from YMCA. And I'll just start a little theater troupe at any job that I worked at, any summer program. I'll just start my own program. And I was like, I really like doing acting and teaching it. And I like, you know, what kind of skills come from it, what kind of transferable skills you can develop from it, whether it's public speaking, confidence, self-esteem. And I think by the time I was 19, it got word from Tyra Banks, and then I got flown to New York to go to the Tyra Banks show where she interviewed me about my work. And, yeah, after that I was like, I got to quit my job. You know what? God is telling me to do something, and I quit in the wrong way. The most craziest way is a company meeting. I threw the peace sign up, and I was like, I'm out. I'm finna be big. Goodbye, people. Craziest thing ever. I'm telling you, but my ego in the right places. I was still humble, but it was like so much stuff and that was going on at the job. I'm like, nah, I'm finna go. Let me just make this decision right now. And I left. And even the coworkers to this day who follow me, their kids may be in my program, they're like, you remember that? I can't believe. And they were like, I remember you in the break room talking about how you were going to do it. I just can't believe it happened. And I still, I mean, now that my faith is bigger and I'm, you know, my relationship with God, I know why and how it happened. But I still can't believe just those conversations from a break room kind of led to people really just saying, I just remember you speaking all of this, you know, into existence.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So what challenges did you have along the way? Because I know, you know, when you're starting up a new business or a nonprofit, there's always some challenges. What were those challenges for you?
So the challenges, and I always, you know, talk about double minority minorities, and, you know, that being a woman and then being a business owner, and then on top of that, with me, it was my youth. You know, it was really hard to be taken seriously by anybody. So it was always challenges. And it's honestly, just due to my age, it was a lot of things that I didn't know. So I had to learn through experience and hard, quick lessons and how to fail really quickly. But, of course, when most of us start up, when we start out, funding is a big issue. Now, luckily, I had a really supportive father. he got me through some hard months. But still, that didn't make the, you know, make the times of starting a business that much harder, because you're going through such a financial strain. You're investing, you know, this is the first time you're experiencing overhead. So before that dollar floats around into your pocket, it has to be paid by every single bill that the company can entail, and renovations, repair. So just not transitioning from a teenage writer or a young adult doing freelance projects to kind of having monthly overhead, kind of it grows you up in a way, but it also takes the love out of it. And that's when you really have to try to fall in love again, because, you know, anytime you have bills, it just make you not like the place. You can have the best car in the world, but once the day you got to pay that car note or it has that mechanic issue, you're like, ah. And so that's how it is with business. Like, I love the business, but soon as something break or that bill is due, or, you know, you have 10 different, you got 10 fixed bills that has to be paid, you're like, do I really, you know, I mean, I love it, but is this really what's going to make me happy? Because it's exciting when you're starting and you're cutting your ribbon, but to be in this building every day, just knowing how am I going to pay, you know, the bills, or what's going to sustain me the next 3 years. You're always thinking about, you know, the next 3 to 5 years, how am I going to be able to afford this, that, and the other, you know. So those thoughts can kind of consume you, where you get drained out before your creative book can even catch up and your wheels kind of just burn out. So just the burnouts and the, you know, challenges, those were the hardest parts. And then trying to maintain a personal life has, you know, always been just a challenge. You're so busy.
Sure.
And, you know, you want to do young adult things and you want to date and you want to do all these things. But, you know, of course, trying to have a work-life balance as well.
Those are some good points. And, you know, those are some things that I hear just across the board with our CEOs. So this show is really designed to share with other women that may be in business, and they may have some of the same challenges. And my hope is that when they hear some of these shows that they are inspired to keep moving on. And now you've been in business eight years now, which is absolutely amazing. Yes. Like 8 years in the business now. So you're celebrating the eighth year anniversary. So tell us about some of your greatest accomplishments, because I know in those 8 years you've had some phenomenal things happen.
Yes, yes. Of course, like I said, the Tyra Banks show was the first. We got a chance to go to the TV show The Real last year. I just won the Tyler Perry Innovator and Influencer Award, which was nominated based off of my last play, Red Flag, that was at the Lander Center. So, really, those are my staple accomplishments. But honestly, I really think it's maintaining a business, you know, running it and operating it in the green, you know, is not in the red or not in debt. You know, we're flowing. So just being able to kind of push this machine to the next level and flow daily and keep programs alive, that's really been my biggest accomplishment. Because as a business owner, that's your, you know, that's where your constant goal is, to keep revenue, you know, moving. And we're still working on, you know, creating new avenues. But, you know, those have been my really, really big ones. So just keeping programs and producing content that our, you know, clients would like.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and Lily Rose Studios has become, in the Memphis area, I know, a pretty much a household name. I would like to say that you've done a great job with branding the business, and people know you. You know, people know who you are. So I wanted people across the United States and out of the country to know about Lily Rose Studios, and that you are a young woman making things happen. I think that is absolutely amazing. So what advice do you give to a fellow CEO that maybe just, you know, she might be on the fence and she's contemplating, she doesn't know, she might be having those financial struggles, she may not have a great support system. What advice would you give to them?
My advice, my friends talk about me so bad because I'm the most frugal person. I mean, I'm not cheap, but I'm telling you, I can go to the dollar store and walk out like, nope, not buying it. My friend's like, really, you just didn't get that? I have to have a clear budget. So my thing is to budget very, very well, you know, and I always been frugal, but I just learned the power of budgeting, saving for rainy days, because it's going to happen. Even 8 years in business, I mean, you know, I kind of told you a little bit about my personal. I'm like, oh my God, things are going to happen. And I've learned now to become a soldier. You know, you have to put out fires daily. So I kind of wake up with the expectation that, hey, something is going to meet my attention. Not something is going to go wrong, because if you look at it like that, then you're just thinking bad stuff is constantly happening. But something is going to meet my attention, and I'm going to need to fix something. So you wake up, I'll definitely say pray. You have to build a really strong relationship if you are, you know, a Christian. Build that strong relationship with God and pray and use that armor. And then whatever you have to tackle, just don't feel defeated. Just know it's a part of life. Pain pushes you to your purpose. And just don't give up, because, you know, it takes years to build, and it takes a while to recover. If you're already years in and you have a setback, it still take a while to rebuild it. But, you know, just keep going. Like, make it fun. Find the fun things in it. That's why we created Boss Night, you know, so we can relate to other people. So just keep being innovative, creating new things, plan ahead, and save for rainy days. That's my biggest thing. Yeah.
I love it. And I think those are some great points, some great advice for our CEOs. So tell me about your success circle. So I know your father, you mentioned your dad, has been a great support financially and just helping, you know, to back the business when those times were a little bit hard for you. So who else sits on that front row of your life that kind of helps navigate things, keeps you motivated? They pour into you. Who are those people?
Man, and I feel so blessed. And I promise, I think about this and I, like, tears fall, because I'm like, God, you really blessed me, because it's so many people. I come from a really, really, really supportive family, like my mom, and, you know, she's usually here. They think she's the mom of the studio, because she's just here to help. I have a twin sister, and we're a minute apart, and, I mean, we're just that close. So, you know, I always have a best friend to just, you know, vent, talk to, hang out with, just everything. I have an older sister who's in New York, and she knows the game. She's more of that tough New Yorker. And so she's able to give me that hard advice and to, you know, she'd be the one that'll kind of cuss somebody out if somebody's messing with me. I'll let her handle my dirty work. You know, but then I have a host of aunts and cousins. Yeah, she's that person. Like, someone called me, can your sister back off? I'm like, well, you shouldn't have. I'm like, okay.
Right.
But, yeah, she don't care. I'm like, I don't say anything. If you screenshot it, then I'm a bad person. But she's like, I don't care. My platform affords me the opportunity to say what I want to. And she will. But, yeah, a host of cousins, and I have childhood friends, and I've just been really fortunate. Like, my family is business owners. You know, my grandmother, she owned, you know, she was a single mom of six, and she owned, you know, grocery stores and different things. So it's kind of in our blood,
wow.
And my aunts were entertainers. So, so everything kind of shapes up. But, yeah, my family, they're front row every play since I was 16. Anything I ever, if I'm on TV, and I'm pretty sure now with this podcast, they're going to record it themselves and keep it in a vault. And it's at least 10 people that's going to do that with everything I do. So the support is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I have a really big support system.
Well, you know what? You're incredibly blessed when you think about the family support, because you know what? The biggest thing that you hear a lot of times when people are starting business, that family and friends tend not to be supportive. And I've watched your family. I mean, they are absolutely phenomenal. They share in the successes. They share in the hardships. I've watched them actually do that with you. And you are blessed. So I don't want to say it's a rare thing, because I do believe there are families out there that do support, you know, women in business.
Right.
But you are incredibly blessed, because, I mean, I've seen the whole full circle of the family supporting what you do. So that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's just we're in group chats as we speak. I'm glad you told me do not disturb. I'm like, I'm going on a podcast. They're asking me 10 million times, where? I'm like, listen, it's going to come out.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, they're ready. And I thank God daily. I was like, I could have been born into any type of family, but you blessed me with this one. And that doesn't mean we don't have our, you know, days, and being a part of a big family also means you got a lot of opinions and suggestions and advice. And, you know, so it comes with both sides. But, of course, I wouldn't have it any other way. But, and we do try to, you know, create tribes too, because not only do you have family, you still need women, you know, who are in business to really know what you're going through.
Right.
And that's why I created Boss Night, to separate a little bit more, you know, from that, and just to create, I mean, because it takes a woman, like you said, who's in business to know when you have those issues, you're not complaining, you're not PMSing, you know, you're building air go out or something, you know, it takes somebody in business to really be able to talk to and relate. So that's why it is important to find that tribe. And sometimes it's not your family or your friends. And sometimes I even suggest not, you know, because there's some people I just don't bring up Lily Rose to at all, because it may feel a little uncomfortable for them to have a conversation with me about it. And I just learned how to protect those relationships by just not, you know, not being a business owner when I'm around them or when I'm talking to them. I just become just a friend girl, or just, you know, whatever. And I'll just talk about my business to people who I know, you know, look at it in the best light, and people that support it. So, yeah, it's some people and some family members that I don't mention the word Lily Rose, period, you know. How's it going? Great. And, you know, I kind of keep it at that, because I know they wouldn't be able to relate, or, you know, they wouldn't be able to support it in a capacity of even just wishing you the best wishes. So I kind of just like, okay.
Yeah. Smart move. So what plans do you have to grow the business? I know you, like I said, you've been doing some phenomenal things. I know you do summer camp. You have the networking night. You do plays. What else do you plan on doing?
Man, the guy fixing my AC was just asking me, what's your next plan? I was like, if I can just get through a month without having to repair something, I will be fine. But the goal really is to try to get more grants. Like, the goal really when we started was for it to be a grant-funded program where students didn't have to pay anything. You know, we can just run it after school programs, weekend programs. So the goal is still to get it to be a larger nonprofit. Right now, it's a tuition base. It's great. We try to keep it very affordable with the work that we do here, but we would love to see it grow and franchise and, you know, it be many little acting schools all around where kids can just walk in and feel like they're, you know, walking onto a set on a Saturday. And so that's our goal, to just kind of create those little mini production studios where kids can kind of come in and just feel like working actors and see the fruits of their labor, you know, on a big screen or on the TV, a local TV channel, or even on the internet now since that's becoming so popular. So to kind of grow it, I definitely want to write a children's book soon. Of course, I'm in my natural phase, so I love being, a naturalista now, and I just love how empowering that was. I mean, because I went from wearing wigs for, 5-6 years straight to being a natural, and it just really did something to my self-esteem and just really made me, be more in tune to who I am, as a Black woman.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
Yes, so I would love to, keep encouraging it. And it was a hard transition for me because it was the closest people to me that really made me feel the worst. You know, as crazy as it is from just what we were talking about, it was those people where there was like, I almost go around and they're making me feel like I'm the ugliest thing walking because I'm natural or the nappiest and I was fighting against my, because, I was going through like a public breakup at this time, a failed engagement. So, this is at the point where I'm trying to reinvent myself and, try to find myself and just be by my own drum to reinvent myself. And I mean, it was just negative, 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 all because I chose a hairstyle that was the hair that grew out of my head. And I was just fighting that. I was fighting, not letting people, opinions get to me. So just kind of growing through all of that at a point. So I definitely want to do something encouraging for younger kids to know, like, you do not have to wear. I mean, if you want to, that's fine, because I'll throw one on in a second if I need to. But you can definitely embrace who you naturally are and still feel just as beautiful. So I definitely want to do something in that realm because it's such an important part of my growth and my development and my maturity. So I don't know what type
and
of project
that,
I want to do with it.
Yeah, that's so needed. That is so needed right now. So I think that's important. So I look forward to seeing you do that. So before we close out the show, I just want you to share a couple of things with us. Number one, if you have a business model that you kind of, it's like your affirmation for your business. What is that? And then share with our listeners how they can keep in touch with all the great things that Lily Rose Studios has going. Your social media handles and all that good stuff.
Yes. So my affirmation is real. I have a really ratchet one that I just cannot share, but really work, play, and pray hard. I mean, as cliche as it sounds, I added pray in there, but it's really, I guess I sacrificed a lot in my 20s for this business. And I didn't play at all. People, even some of my old parents are like, I'm so glad to see you living, girl, because it was always 100% the business and whatever time I had. So I've learned to play really hard, have fun, let your hair down, give no cares what people may think, just play, but work hard and then pray hard. And also you can follow me. Lily Rose with a Z, Lily Rose Studios, Lily Rose Acting Studios, and my website is lilyrosestudios.com. So Lily Rose with a Z, everywhere, Google it. You can definitely follow us. Nadia Carolyn Matthews is my personal page, but yeah, you can pretty much follow us everywhere with Lily Rose Acting Studio.
Well, Nadia, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I know your schedule is busy like every other CEO out there. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And we'll have you come back again when you got some good news to share with us or some words of advice.
Please. I would definitely. I'm going to call you. I'm like, hey, I'm ready.
Right. We always need those words of advice, but I really sincerely appreciate you being a part of the show and just seeing someone young doing it big. We appreciate you. We celebrate you on today. And until next time, listeners, we'll catch you on the next Saturday, CEO. Mindset. Goodbye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Right there, right there. Come on. Yeah. Let's go. Hello, how there, everyone. My name is Sturman Tush. And I'm glad to be back with you on another episode of your show, Musicians War Room. Wow, I know it's been a while. And I'm sorry that I've not been able to speak with you for a while. But I'm back right now. Back fully. Back with grace. Back with power. Thank you, Finding My Way Radio Network, for holding this down for me for a while that I've not been on the show. And I want to appreciate the producer, Kayla Paget, and every other person walking right there. Thank you so much. I love you all. I love you. Yeah, so it's been a while that we've been talking about so many things that concerns music industry, the church, and all of that. And I know you've been learning a lot of things. And I'm here today to take it a little bit deeper. And I'm going to step it down today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that is critical, something that people talk about and something that people always want to shy away from, because it's a very sensitive topic. Very sensitive. And what is that? We're talking about the relationship between the music industry or the artist and the church. The relationship between the choir and the pastors. The relationship between the church, the clergy, and the Christian artist. Now, this has been a hot topic for a while right now. People have had so many things to say about it. When you talk to musicians and artists, you find them telling you that, oh, you know what, the church doesn't appreciate music ministry, the pastors don't appreciate us, we don't have platforms, but the money and the rewards are not there. When you talk to the church and the leaders and the church, you hear them say stuff like, oh, you know what, Christian artists are not serious, choir members are not serious, and so many things, accusations flying back and forth. But I'm not here today to treat these accusations. I'm here to go back to the basics. What exactly is the relevance of the church to the Christian artist? What is the reciprocate gesture that the church, the artist should have? What is the posture that the artist is meant to have towards the church, towards the pastors, towards the church leadership? What exactly, how are things meant to be? Originally, we're going to go back to that basics. I'm going to share these things with you. We're going to have these conversations together, and I'm going to expect your questions. I'm going to wait to hear you ask me questions, and you can always send me your mail on hemedymusic@gmail.com, hemedymusic@gmail.com, and I'm going to answer those questions right on the show. All right, so we're going to look at these things on this show today. I'm going to start this with a piece of music. Let's get into some worship, and this is Nobody Like You by Afe Nathan. Enjoy this one.
I will lift up my hands to you. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory song to you, great and mighty. Is who you are. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. you, Omega, nobody like you. I will lift up my hands to you, Lord. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory, oh Lord, song to you, great and mighty. Is who you are. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Alpha. Nobody like. Nobody like you, Lord. Omega. Nobody like you. Nobody. Nobody like, nobody like you, Omega, nobody like you. Cause any mire, cause any mire, oh, blue, cause any mire. Nobody like you, nobody like you, Alpha, nobody like you, El Shaddai, Elohim, Elyon, nobody like you, nobody like you. Show out all the earth, and I find nobody like you, nobody like you, nobody like you. I've just come to encourage someone out there today, and I say to you that whatever situation you find yourself, I need you to see God in that situation. No matter how low, I need you to see God in it. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible, I need you to see God in that situation. If only you can see God. If only you can find God. I need you to be focused. I need you to get your praise on. I need you to get your worship on. And let it flow from the inside of you to the audience of one, to the King of Glory.
Yes, yes, let your worship flow. Let your praise rise to the audience of one. No matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances are facing you right now, just know that God is right there. It's just a call away. Glory to Jesus. Yes, so we're talking about the church and the artists. Now, let me debunk a particular mindset or frame of thought that people have been sharing over the years. People say that, you know what, if the church doesn't give you a platform as an artist, you know, you can just give yourself your own platform. You don't really need a church. No, that is wrong. That is wrong. People that say, people who say certain things, you know, they talk out of heart. And I understand. I understand that you've been hurt by people. I understand that probably some leaders in the church, as they've hurt you in times past. Now, I'm not going to go into whether you were was legit or not, but I really understand how you feel. But never let your emotions cloud your judgment. I understand that you've been hurt, but you see, it is wrong to say that the artist or the singers or the choir or, you know, Christian music industry doesn't need the church or doesn't need the pastors. I remember in the Bible, you know, when Nehemiah was building, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, building the temple, one of the things that was striking in that story is that as the guys were building, the prophets were with them. The Bible says that the prophets were beside them. Now, the prophets were not there holding the brick and all of, the bricks and all of that. The prophets were there strengthening them by speaking words. By speaking words. So I'm going to say that, first of all, like I said, you know, in quite some episodes back, you are first of all a Christian before being an artist, before being a musician. So what that means essentially is that you are subject to the ministry of the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, okay? The fivefold ministry. It is important. The apostles, it is important. You have them. They are meant to feed you. They are meant to empower you. They are meant to energize you. They can give you platforms, but that is not the primary role of the church. And I need us to get that straight. Now, many of us, we expect too much. In fact, we expect things that we, you know, you find out that an artist will release a song and then the artist will just sit down and fold his or her arms and expect that, well, you know what, my church should help me promote my song. Now, I know that's far, but I've met artists like that who do nothing. They don't brand themselves well. They don't go on social media. They don't talk to music PR folks. They don't do anything to promote their music. They just go to the studio, release a song. Even the money that they used to go to the studio, they had to beg around for it. Now they got the money, get to the studio, release the song. And they just feel that, well, because I'm anointed, the song will fly. Or because my church is great and they're going to help me promote my song. Now that is an extreme. That is totally wrong. That is wrong. That is not the job of the church. You are the artist. You are the one who has been called into music ministry. And like Paul said to Timothy, I'm going to say to you, take heed, give attention to the ministry that you have been given. Now, Paul was telling Timothy to tell a man, okay, called Archippus, that he should give heed and give attention to the ministry has been given. So it is your ministry. It is your assignment. What impute, what are you putting into it? You're not putting anything into it. So that is not the job of the church. But the job of the church and the pastors and the leaders, they are meant to, is to empower you, is to feed you, is to pray for you, is to be a prophetic voice over your life, over your ministry. So once that is settled, then you are in good shape. You are in good stand. And I want to encourage and I want to also counsel our church leaders that, you see, for us to move forward in the music industry, we need to take this mindset away that, oh, artists are not serious. They don't want to really go deep. I understand that there are a few bad eggs everywhere. But you see, you have to understand that there are some people who are passionate about music ministry and they really want to do well at it. So the job of our church and our leaders is to help the artist to grow. That is on the spiritual side. Now, there's also something else on the technical side. One of the things that pastors should understand is that music is global. Music is expanding every day. And so the church choir is essentially the kitchen or the manufacturing spot where artists are created. So if a singer comes from your church and goes out to release songs and becomes a recording artist, the quality of that artist in terms of the conviction, the message, the songs, the musicality, everything there reflects your investment in the church. So if a singer comes out of your church that and starts doing anyhow and releases wishy-washy songs, it shows that you had wishy-washy investment. It shows that your investment in that artist wasn't sound. So the church, you need to understand that you have a direct personal take over every artist. Don't just say that, well, the artist just did what he or she wants to do because he's not serious. No. God is going to ask you, because God entrusted you with that singer. God entrusted you with that instrumentalist, and see how he or she has turned out. So we need to ensure that our building of our singers and our choir is well-rounded. As much as you are praying for them and encouraging them and you're building them up and speaking words over them, you also need to make investments into them technically, musically. There are many churches today that they have not invested anything in their music team, no equipments to work with, no training. I mean, you have a choir and they have not gone for any formal training in the past 2 years. Just keep on telling them, work, watch videos, listen to music. Yes, but many of them did not go to music school. They just love God and they have a natural voice to sing and they have a passion to serve. So you need to supply that extra knowledge, extra motivation for them to learn. So many of us in the church, many pastors are not even doing enough to be able to build these people. Many of us, many pastors say, you know what, I can't rent, I can't pay instrumentalists, I can't pay anybody to come and do anything in my church for music. I believe that is not right. Because there are times where you will need to seek professional advice and you will have to pay for it. There are times you will need to seek professional church on your music and you will need to pay for it. So if there's a music director or there's a singer out there who you know that is good and has what your choir needs to be supplied to it, you should be able to pay for it. Don't see that you are paying them for what they are doing. See it as your financial investment. See it like you are sending your choir members to school and what you are paying is the tuition fee. It's that simple. It's that simple. You see, if we don't make this investment, you find out that you release singers and instrumentalists in your church that know nothing about music, and that is really affecting us. Let me tell you something. When you see what is happening in the Christian music industry, it's a reflection of what is happening in our churches. And so it's like the adults saying that, well, the children of nowadays, the millennials, have turned out the way they want to turn out because they just have a mind of their own. I beg to disagree, because the adults raised these millennials. So whatever the millennials have become is a direct representation of the investment of the older generation in them. So I want to encourage pastors, this is a time to take your church music serious. Get them gadgets, get them the right equipments, provide the atmosphere for them to learn, bring people to train them, employ reliable hands. This is one of the things that is expected of you to do. Now I'm talking about what are the expectations? What do we expect the church to do for artists? What does the artist want and need? And then on the part of the singers, what is your role and your responsibility to the church? Now, before I go for my next break, let me share it with you. I believe that it's important that every Christian artist finds a church, all right? Find a church that you can serve. So the problem many times is that some pastors have been hurt as well. And I'm going to say this. They've poured a lot and invested so much in some people. And after a while, they go to the biggest dealer. They go to the person who is paying the biggest. And that is wrong. You need to be loyal. Like I said, you're not in your church. You're not in your church because you are trying to look for platforms. Yes, they can give you platform. But essentially, as a Christian, you need a church. So if you're not a musician, won't you have a church? Be committed somewhere. So if you want someone to invest in you, then you have to be loyal to them. If I'm a pastor and I feel that, oh, if I pour so much in you and you become good, the moment someone else sees something good in you and is offering you something bigger, you're going to go. And naturally, I'm going to feel like, oh, that would make me feel hurt. Now, I understand that you don't reap where you sow, but you reap what you sow. But you also have to understand that pastors are human beings. Yes, there are times where you invest in someone and that person is meant to actually be a benefit to someone else and you have to just let them go. I understand that. I understand that it's not everywhere you invest in or everyone you invest in that will end up returning back to you or staying around you for a while. I understand that. But you see, as artists, we need to be loyal to our leaders and loyal to our church, loyal to our pastors. Give your all. Stay in a place. I know many music directors and many artists who don't have a church. You can't place them somewhere. They're always moving around from one place to another. I don't think that is right. You should be in a place. You should be planted. You should be planted. Be loyal to a place. All right? So that is your responsibility as a Christian artist, that you are submitting to a leadership. You're submitting to a pastor. You're submitting to a church. And you are adding value to that space, to that choir. Let people around you feel your impact. Let them feel your knowledge. All right? So as the church is investing in you, you are putting back as well. All right? Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up after this music break, and we're going to continue for the episode. So this is Sinach, you know her, Waymaker, Sinach, great worship leader, singing this one, great are you, Lord. Enjoy this worship piece.
God is great and greatly to be praised. So every morning when I wake up, I always remind myself that God is bigger than any situation. God is bigger than any economy. God is bigger than any currency. And that God is bigger than my dreams. And that before you ever dreamed it, He knows. And He cares so much. And if you're feeling that nobody cares for you right now, God is bigger. And He says, I am the great one. You just see how big that I am in your life. And I'll do the rest. Just lift up your hands and just worship Him and tell Him how great He is. Greatly to be praised.
It's a privilege to worship you, maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands and holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship. Stand before you. Ha. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord, you reign. With a grateful heart, with a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord, you our hands, you reign. We worship you, you reign.
Holy, holy, come on.
Holy, holy God Almighty.
Is a privilege.
Is a privilege to worship.
Maker of all.
Maker of all you.
It is an honor.
It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands and holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty.
Oh Lord,
it's a privilege to worship.
You're the maker of all universe. It is an honor.
It's an honor just to stand before
you. Hey, come
on. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord, you.
You reign, reign on your Lord.
are you, Lord? I just couldn't stop that. That was a powerful song. Great are you, Lord. I'm sure you were lost in worship right there. All right, so I'm about to wrap up the show for the day. We're going to continue this conversation, you know, subsequently. So like I said, the church has its roles. The artist, you have your role. And this is what I'm going to end with. This is going to be my ending thought to us today on this episode. You see, we need to get to a point where we realize that we need one another. We need one another. I sincerely believe that the Christian music industry and essentially gospel music needs to take over, because we have the message, we have the power, we have the grace, we have what it takes to turn our world around. The world out there, what you find people doing is they're singing all sorts of songs, and you find our young people turning into so many things, and they are being negatively influenced by the music, and we have what it takes. But you see, we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this on our own. We need that prophetic backing. We need that synergy. We were never meant to do this by ourselves. Taking over is not a single man's job. I want you to understand that. It's not something that I'm going to do. You know, when you find new artists come out and say, you know what, I'm coming out with my first single, it's going to be the banger, I'm taking over the music industry, I'm going to turn this around, it's all a lie. Only you alone can do it. We need one another. And I want you to just take this mindset with you and just know that, you know what, I need my brother, I need my fellow artists. Thank God for my number one hit single nationwide, but I cannot do it by myself. If I'm the only one having hit singles, then nothing's going to happen. I need other people to rise up. And as artists, we also need the church. Let us go into the weekend, into our week, into our month, into the rest of the days of the year with that mindset that we need one another. I need you. You need me. Thank you so much. I'm going to continue on the next episode talking about the relationship between church and the artists, between the singers, between the ministry, the music ministry, and the church leadership. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I'm Tommy Tish, and I'm signing out today. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. Right there, right there. Yeah. Let's go. Yes, sir. When this world outside, high of peace inside, favor covers me. When it's casting down, I keep rising higher. Favor covers me. Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, children around the world. It's story time with Princess Leah and I foresee you. Oh, it's happy. Never mind. So today, I want to tell you all that I'm so glad that you thought about me on my birthday. Thank you, all of you that, you know, thought about me. And I want to say hello, Kayla Padgett, CEO, founder of Finding My Way Network. You are my twin forever. Big smile. And hello, parents out there who have let their children listen to me, Princess Leah Camille, who is awesome. So today, I'm going to be talking about how to feed thousands of people. This is about how Yeshua led the people into the wilderness. It's a familiar story. We all know it probably as how the little boy gave his lunch, you know, that one. So I'm going to tell you that story. So Yeshua led the people into the wilderness, teaching them the scriptures, and they had probably been walking 4 hours. You know, those long, long, long car trips where you don't want to sit in there. The only way for you to stay in there is to either have your video game or to listen to YouTube music. Ugh, I've been there. So that's probably what this felt like. Mom, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? You know what I'm talking about. So they had been walking for hours and hours and hours. And so they had wanted food service while listening to Yeshua, but there weren't any random gas station stores in the middle of nowhere like today. So, dude, are we going to starve or what? Yeshua, we need food. We've been sitting here for hours, and now we're really hungry. Can we, like, go to the gas station or something? There were no gas stations. So they had to figure out another way to get food because they had been sitting there from morning until evening, usually like our churches today. So after hearing the complaints of the people for quite a long time, the disciples found a little boy who was willing to give us his lunch. Now, how many of you guys at school share or trade your lunches? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, I can't hear you or see you, so just forget it. So I know most of you probably do that. I have done that a few times, giving my lunches to people because they had no food. And I'm not doing that again because I don't want to. But you guys have known what it's like to give and trade food and stuff. So this little boy was kind of like that. So he had the loaves and the fishes. He's like, I have some food. I can share with all these people. Now, you have to think. There were a ton of people here. Like, a lot. A lot more than church. Well, maybe. Probably. So there were lots of people here. And there were only a few loaves and fishes. So the math doesn't really add up. So he's just willing to give away his food. So Yeshua took the 7 loaves and he broke them and the fishes, and they did set them before the people. You can find this in Mark 8. I'm on 7, verse 7. That's verse 7. So, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before the people. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. So, yeah, you know how you have leftovers and mom makes you eat all the leftovers the night after you eat, and you're just like, why, mom, we had this yesterday. So they had 7 baskets. If you took 7 baskets home of leftovers, I'm pretty sure you'd get really tired of eating that food, but you've got to eat it. So they had 7 baskets left over, and it's a miracle. I mean, like, he blessed the food. Now, when he says blessed food, that's kind of like when we say our grace. It's important to say our grace. So we say that all harm, impurities, diseases, all that stuff, so we won't get sick. It's important to pray before we eat. And even we sometimes might forget to pray. My mom might have to remind me sometimes. Even Priscilla doesn't pray, say her grace all the time. But it's important to do that. Yeshua is being a good example of what we should do before we eat meals. And it was just a good, great miracle. Another one of those miracles Yeshua performed. Because these were the people. I mean, if we said grace, maybe, of course, Yahuwah could use us to do that. He gave all this bread and stuff. We could do that with Yahuwah's help. He can break bread and give it to thousands of people. But I'm pretty sure if you just say grace, and right now, I don't think you would give people all that bread just by saying grace. Yeshua did that miracle, though. So for the people who came in late today, Yeshua led the people in the wilderness, teaching them the scriptures, and they had been walking for hours. Yes, car trip. Just in there, bored, don't know what to do. You're just in there asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Your mom makes you sing that same song over and over again until you finally get to your destination. People had been walking. He was probably talking to them as they were walking, saying stuff about the scriptures and teaching them. So even when they were walking, they weren't sitting. He still was teaching them. His disciples were helping, even though they were just like, they keep complaining. What do we do? There's no food out here. And we can't just send them back. It's a long way from here. And then today we have gas stations, all these other places, and food, and how we have this food and we go to gas stations to get it. They didn't have that back then. So then they had to go and sit, and they've just been out there all day in that sun from morning until the afternoon. They were just sitting. They didn't have any food. And then the boy, this shows us how we can be. When other people are in need, we need to be able to give what we have. Like, let's just say you go to this place. You know how your mom takes you to these places and you have shoes that you don't wear anymore, shirts, toys that you don't play with. Yeah, me, toys that I don't play with. And you just keep it in your room. It's just cluttering up your room even more. So why would you keep all that stuff in your room? You need to give it away. Give it to people who are in need. That's a good example of how we should be, even us as kids. It's not just grown-ups who give to the poor and needy. And we should be able to give to other people that need items just as we do. And we need to stop complaining about food. Stop being so picky. I know Princess Leah is sometimes picky too, so I get that. I may not want to eat certain food. I'm like, Mom, what is this? But we need to eat what we have before, because they work all the time for us. They do all these things for us, and we complain and complain and complain. Mom, I want this video game. I don't like this food. And is this the food that Yahuwah gave you? You need to eat it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I don't like spinach. Ew. I don't like tofu.
But if that's what you have to eat, then eat it. I mean, now, if you're like these other kids out there who don't have any food and they have to drink dirty water, then all they have to eat are beans. Would you? You wouldn't complain about if you ate that if you didn't have any other choice. You'd eat it if you were starving. So there's no difference in what we should be doing now. We should be grateful for what we have, not complaining about, like, I don't want this. Ew, what is that? I don't like broccoli. Ew. Salads are gross. It's healthy anyway. Eat it. And my parents take me out to eat, but I don't go and try to say, Mom, let's go there today. I don't do that after the day we just ate yesterday. Why would I do that? You can't go out to eat every day. We have something that's called a budget. So, you can't just go out and eat every day. You can't get all this expensive stuff from Walmart and these shops you be going in with all these clothes and stuff you want, because they work and they don't have money to spend on just random stuff going out to eat all the time. That's why we eat at home. Eat some cereal. Eat a Pop-Tart. I love eating Pop-Tarts in the evening time. So, after hearing the complaints of the people, don't complain. The disciples found a little boy who was willing to give his lunch. Probably didn't want to eat it anyway. So he just gave it away, and they had 7 baskets left over. That's a miracle. I mean, even though you won't want to eat 7 baskets of leftover when you get home, it's still a blessing. You have food. You can give it away. Like, people don't, that's what we do. We get baskets and bags, and we put food in there. We do a lot of stuff for these people who don't have as much as we do, because we mess over food. We don't have all this food away. So if you don't want to eat it, then give it away. I mean, I'm not saying you should be picking to leave it out there intentionally, but you should have a spirit to want to give, and that's a good thing. Princess Leah goes and helps her mom give away food and clothes to people who don't have as much. We do that almost every year. And it's good to be able to help. You'll have a good feeling, actually, when you do that. The Holy Spirit will convict you, and he'll be like, Wow, it actually feels good to be giving to these people. That's how I feel, helping my mom pack bags. And Kayla does it, too. I'm her twin, so she's a good example. Look at me. I'm just like Kayla. So she does that, too. And I just think that's so awesome. We should be able to do that. And I'm pretty sure that you didn't know that Kayla did that. So I'm just telling you, she does that. She's a visionary. She goes out there and does things that most of us people, we don't want to do it right now. We're just so lazy. That's another part. We're just lazy and we don't want to give away stuff. I feel so sad because these people just don't want to be a blessing to other people that don't have as much toys, food. I mean, how are we going to live without food? They need it. People out there living on the streets now. They don't have anywhere to go, and we need to give out food to them like Kayla had to do. She's such a great example. And everybody had a buffet meal anyway. So all these people, the women were there, the kids were there. They had enough to eat. The men, they were out there eating. That's good. They had all the food they needed right there. And after that, they didn't even complain about what they were eating. I mean, at first they did because they didn't have any food, but they ate it all. Well, not all of it since there were 7 baskets. But this is a great miracle that Yeshua performed. And all the people, the little boy, the disciples that helped, it's good. And I mean, some of us complain about, like, when we're going out somewhere, we have, like, an engagement to go to. Like, I have violin practice, something similar to that. Why don't you pack your food up from at home? That's what my dad would want me to do, my mom and dad. I have food at home I can take to practice, but sometimes we're just like, oh, we don't have any food at home, Mom. And you look in the refrigerator, a microwavable food. You can put in the microwave or the oven is sitting in there. Why don't you cook that? And there's some chips over in the basket. Why don't you take that to wherever you're going? So, yeah, it's just about being grateful and how Yahuwah blesses people like this. And it's great to see how these people can go out and are willing to do that. I mean, us as kids, we just think we have to sit back and watch our parents or older people do things, like how we have salvation. We think, oh, I'll do that when I get older. It'll always be there, but why don't you do it now? I mean, there's no certain time you have to have salvation. You know that, right? And that's kind of how we are when our parents go and do stuff for people, like charity events. We just want to sit back and watch them do what they're doing. Why don't you help? My mom, I help my mom all the time with what she does, and I feel good to be able to help people, help people out there who may not have as much as we do. And so this is how we are in church too, because I'm looking at how Yeshua was teaching them the scriptures and we're sitting in there just listening to the pastor. That's another thing I thought about. We just sit in there like, when are we going to leave yet? We've been in church for hours. That's how we are. I'm thinking about that. Why are we in a hurry to leave church? I mean, we should be attentive and want to learn more about Yahuwah, not just sitting in there like some of us kids maybe sleep. Oh, well, I'm not talking about the babies exactly because they really can't. They don't understand anything anyway. But us kids, we shouldn't be in there just doodling, falling asleep while the pastor's talking. We should be attentive and want to learn more about him. Not ready to go, Mom, what are we going to eat? It's, church is over, so can we go eat now? That's how some of us think. Some of us go back to like when we used to say, Mom, it's Sunday, let's go eat after church. That's how most of us think. I mean, I used to think like that. So, yeah, most of us think like that. And I think blessing people is more important than just, you know, wanting to stop doing important things for Yahuwah. And so we also know what happened back then about how they didn't have gas station stores and whatnot. They had to, you know, sit out there and listen. And that little boy had a good spirit, the spirit to want to give. And he's a good example, too. And how we should pray over our food every time. And how Yeshua had 7 baskets of leftovers. He's performed lots of miracles. And in Mark 8, I'm going to go there so I can read it to you. Okay, I'm in Mark 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. See, he didn't just stand there and just let them starve. He had a good spirit to want to give them something to eat while he was teaching. So, they have been here with me 3 days. 3 days! Ugh, 3 days with no food? And if I send them away fast into their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. Yeah. They've been out there for 3 days, and he doesn't want them to pass out while they're walking home. So he had compassion on those people, and he wanted to give them something to eat right now. And the disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? No gas stations. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. And he, see, look, there was 7 loaves of bread. And then there were 7 baskets left over. That's kind of interesting. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took 7 loaves and gave thanks. And he broke them and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. He blessed them and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And there's a little bit more, too. And they had eaten were about 4,000. See, 4,000 people. That's a lot. And how would anybody be able to feed 4,000 people? Not even the restaurant can do that, I bet you that. And straightway he entered a ship with his disciples. So, the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, heaven tempting him. So, that's another thing. We're still in Mark 8, so I'm just going to go with that too. Finish reading Mark 8. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And when he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. He left them, entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. See, why does everybody want a sign? Like, I know Yeshua performed all these miracles, but why do we need a sign? Why can't we just believe that he's real? All of us are so skeptical about him being real. Like, I don't think he's real. He doesn't really do anything. Did you pray? Did you pray right? I don't think he did. He's not answering your prayers right now. That doesn't mean he's not going to answer them. It's just not right now. Maybe it's not the right time that he wants to answer it. And some of you guys, we question Yeshua too. We'll be all like, I don't even think Yeshua's real. He doesn't do anything in my life. I know, right? I prayed, and then he just didn't answer. Yeah, sure. You weren't praying right, maybe? I mean, there's no wrong prayer, but maybe he just doesn't want to answer him right now. Maybe he didn't have a good heart while you were praying. So, that was Mark 8. And they were in the wilderness, Yeshua following. That's how we should be. We should be able to follow Yeshua for several days all of our life. But they were out there, and they were willing to follow him through the wilderness with no food, and they just listened. That's how we should be. But even though towards the end they complained, we should be willing to sit and listen to him for a long time, forever, through our lifetime. And we should be able to want to listen to him and follow him and have a good spirit and want to learn more about him, do things for him. Because some of us as kids, we just don't feel like it's our time. Our parents are doing all that stuff. We'll do it when we get old. You can do it now. You can be a servant to Jesus and you can want to serve him. Like, CEO Kayla Padgett does that. I am so glad to be your twin because she is an inspiration to me. Like, she goes around doing all this cool stuff. She goes and she has her show. And I'm just so grateful to be her twin because I am inspired to do what's right, too. I want to be just like her, be more like Yeshua. And that's how we should be. We should want to be more like we should have a role model in our lives that we can look up to, and we should say, I want to be like them because they have a good spirit. They have a spirit like Yahuwah, and that should be a good inspiration. We should want to follow Yeshua, and we have role models that will help us get there, like our parents. Our parents should be good role models. My parents are good role models. My mom, I really look up to her. My dad, they really inspire me to want to be more like Yahuwah. They talk to me and they pray with me. That's a good, what we should be like, you know? We should be like that with our kids when we get older, and we should want to pray with them. And it's really good that we have figures in our lives, like even our siblings, our sisters. It could be an aunt or grandparent. If they have a good spirit like Yahuwah, then that's good. We should want to be more like them. And so I'm just going to wrap up, and I'm going to say that I have my literature program for my kids, and that I want to say it's coming soon. It says Leah, pro-literacy campaign. It's going to be coming soon, pretty soon, and I'm going to be sharing with you guys reading and lots of other cool stuff. And I want to say hello again to Kayla Padgett, and thank you for letting me get on my show. Thank you so much. And for all the parents out there who let their kids listen to me today, so, or grandparents, or aunts, or siblings. And I'm going to pray. Yahuwah, we thank you for today, and we thank you for everything you've done for these kids. And we thank you for their parents and their aunts and just anybody that's there for them. And I thank you for everybody else in the world, and that you died on the cross for us, and that we can be made anew, and that we can follow you and have that choice to be with you in heaven. And I thank you for Kayla Padgett, and that you would keep her safe on today, and the missionaries, the president, everybody in the world today. And I thank you for a literacy campaign for Princess Leah, and that the kids out there will read and want to learn more about you, read their Bibles and study them. And that you will continue to work through me and Kayla Padgett and all those other people out there who the kids look up to. And so I thank you for just another year. The year's about to end again. Thank you for my birthday. And I thank you for my parents especially, because they were here for me all this time. And we thank you for just, you know, blessing us and letting us see another day. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I'm going to see you guys next time. And I really thank you for listening to me and, you know, my birthday. Bye. And thank you for praying for me. And I'm glad that I can be talking to you guys on through the radio. See you next time. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.